to Plan B Podcast. The opinions expressed and shared on this podcast are of our own. Welcome to PlanB.sg.
Quite a lot of areas that the Russians have taken.
Yeah, we're going to go down. Mm. Like, those are not leaders. Mm. Those are shit starters.
Yeah. France this time, denied, defied.
And at the end of the day, we have a three-way relationship.
Okay, let's stop this right here.
Welcome to PlanB.sg. I'm Zahir Ismail.
And I'm Darren Mark.
And I'm Rama.
Before we start, of course, if you haven't been following us on YouTube, we're quite slow. We're boomers, actually. we're trying to create more traction on Facebook. Did you know 73% of our listeners haven't followed us or subscribed to us on YouTube? Help us make a difference. Click the subscribe button. Uh-huh. So as the channel gets bigger, we can get bigger guests.
I'm impressed that you know the data. Did you just put
of course,
that out?
I was about to say that.
Yeah. I was about to say that. Did you just put it out?
No.
Yeah.
Normally, that's the norm. So okay. I run 3 YouTube channels. So this is the lowest.
Yes, okay. Because it's a new strategy that we're going for on YouTube.
Some long forms.
Yes.
Yeah.
But so today with us, we have a special guest actually.
So before that, some context why we wanted like an AI specialist of sorts to be on the show.
Yes.
Randomly, Zah said, I need to know what is AI.
Yes.
No. I mean, I know what's AI, but just that there's a lot of conversation surrounding it. Mm. And then I think we've had conversations about, AI is, you know,
making
its mark here around the world and might be replacing, you know, legit manpower.
Yep.
Then we're talking about universal basic income.
Yes.
In the case, like, if people in the future do not have, you know, get replaced by
automation.
And things like that. Where are we right now?
But it's a very broad
guess first.
Yeah, so for that, we do have a guest with us today. His name is Sean Wang. Mm. And he is from Latent Space.
Why are you laughing?
That's the name of the podcast. But it sounds like a different planet.
Oh, it's a top 10 podcast in the US, apparently.
You must say this. He is a successful Singapore son.
Oh,
because
that's true.
He's making lots of money overseas in the US.
Why you say like this for him?
Capitalism.
I'm happy.
Yeah.
First line of introduction is I make a lot of money.
No, I never say I make. He makes.
Yeah, but so if you introduce somebody and your first line of introduction is this person makes a lot of money.
Like, yeah, I thought success is not just money.
We've been through this.
Yeah. You can tell me whatever you want, lah. At the end of the day,
so old capitalist. Yeah,
you're not following PM Lawrence Wong movement.
Okay. Sorry.
Sean. Welcome to
Thank
the show.
You. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you for making some time.
Yeah.
But so it says you're also on the small AI company. So I mean, you do several things, and I think you did mention how like you were involved in like 3 startups, I think.
I had a tech career basically as a startup advisor, developer relations advisor.
Mm-hmm.
I can talk about that. San Francisco and New York. And I think there's a lot of us overseas Singaporeans in that scene.
Oh.
I think there's something that local Singaporeans don't really know about, or if they know about it, they don't see themselves as being able to do that. Mm-hmm. And I think it's very eye-opening once Singaporeans break through, because we do very well on the other side of the world.
Really?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Do you have like a community there?
Oh yeah, huge. I host Singaporean dinners maybe once every 2 months.
Oh, nice.
And then people come over to my place and we eat Singapore food. Yeah, it's really nice. Yeah. There's even like local Singapore caterers that only sell Singapore food in SF.
Wow.
For like 5 times the price that you get here.
Of course.
But it's still a nice taste of home. Yeah.
Mm. Oh, very nice. Okay. So, I mean, you mentioned just now that you do this thing called AI engineering.
Yes.
Okay. Because I just know engineering and AI is this very big thing.
I know.
Mm-mm. But what is AI engineering?
Yeah. So, I wrote this essay called The Rise of the AI Engineer about a year ago, and it really sort of helped catalyze this field, and I now run the podcast and conference all around this concept and this industry.
Mm-hmm.
And the AI engineer is basically the midway point between the AI researcher, the people creating the models themselves, and then the AI product person, or like the let's say the end user, where they don't really know about the sort of code details in under the hood.
Mm-hmm.
They are defining the product, or they're using the product. Let's say they're prompting it. Or,
other things.
In between the model and the prompts, there's a whole lot of stuff. And that is the engineering layer. Me and all my other sort of compatriots in that industry is developing and growing over time.
So in the context of ChatGPT, for example, if I understand you correctly, then ChatGPT, I mean, the people that came up with this whole idea of ChatGPT would be the researchers. Mm-hmm. And then there's, you know, people like us who just type in stupid shit into the prompts. Mm. So we are the end users. Mm. And then you guys are the ones who actually make ChatGPT function properly.
No, put it into products. I wouldn't claim it function properly. I mean, it functions well out of the box.
Right.
But to put it into our daily lives in ways that, to take out the UX and create the products that make sense to us.
Mm-hmm. Also, for example, the whole Meta thing, like now on WhatsApp.
On WhatsApp.
Right, like implementing it into.
Those are all AI engineers who are traditionally software engineers who are specializing working with AI.
Okay.
They are not exactly the same people as the research scientists who are creating the model themselves, training the models.
Right, right.
Those GPUs.
Okay. What is the model?
What is the model?
Mm. It's not just one model,
bunch,
right?
Yeah. It's a bunch of numbers. There are a lot of models, yeah. Uh-huh. So typically it will be a large language model these days, but there are other kinds of models. And it's typically just like a very, very giant file with just a whole bunch of numbers. So just think of them as like a bunch of matrices. I don't know if people do linear algebra on this podcast, but happy to be the local math guy. Uh-huh. I think you study linear algebra in secondary school.
What is linear algebra?
Matrices, arrays of numbers, lists of numbers, you know, 2D, 3D, 4D, you know, going up to, I think, 100,000 dimensions.
What school did I go to, man?
I don't know. But, you know, okay, so as somebody who doesn't know anything about, like, you know, this kind of, the more, I guess, software side of things, my concern and my question when it comes to AI is, are we going to all get replaced? Like, I mean, that's, I think. I mean, because most people don't think of that, but, you know, when they think of AI nowadays, that's kind of like the very big anxiety that they have, which is, am I going to get scammed?
Sure.
Are people going to use this to scam me? Am I going to lose my life savings? Am I going to lose my job? Am I going to lose, God knows what?
Mm. Yeah. So I think to some extent, some work will be replaced. And actually, that should be ideally the stuff that we want to be automated away.
Mm.
And it leaves us room to do other more creative endeavors, more human endeavors. And then the other thing is, I would say also that one of the pitches I always like to tell people is even if you believe that all jobs will be replaced, which I don't, let's just say that's true.
Yeah.
Then you should be an AI engineer because that will be the last job to replace all the other jobs. This is the job that will...
That will be
the one automating away the other jobs.
True.
So there's people building AI lawyer, AI...
AI what?
Lawyer. Executive assistant. Really,
good luck.
He's skeptical.
It's okay.
I mean, I have an AI podcaster on my podcast.
Uh-huh. What? So you speak to the AI podcaster and
response? Basically, we generate the responses. We put it into a text-to-speech engine and then it talks back and we stitch it in manually.
Nice. Whoa. That's actually quite cool.
So there's a suddenly podcaster, there's a computer.
Yeah, there's two human hosts and then there's one AI host.
How does the conversation sound like?
There's no conversation back and forth. Like basically, you know, we generate the AI section and then we stitch it in as their intro. So for example, if I'm traveling, so for example, I go to some conferences like Europe's or iClear, which is some of the top academic conferences in the world. Then I do interviews and I need someone to intro me. My co-host is not available, for example. I have the AI co-host introduce me.
Whoa. Oh, so you can key in.
It's a nice contrast between like, you don't hear my voice all the time. Mm-hmm. And at least hear a different voice. And it's like a deep Australian voice, which I really like. Australian voice. So I just picked
how long one. Before this technology actually penetrate to national TV, like CNA and all that?
I don't know if it will penetrate to CNA. I don't... like. I think that humans still have the high level of quality that like people come to expect, and it's actually not that expensive to produce that. You know, it's expensive to set this up, but on an ongoing basis, it's actually not that expensive. I just get in front of a mic and just chat, right? Mm-hmm. So I think like that will be fine. But like, it's not CNA. It's actually the long tail of like, let's say like all this like small businesses that couldn't afford a CNA
setup.
They cannot afford this studio that you guys set up.
Mm.
But if I pay like, you know, $10 to make a professional looking video that is like kind of 90% there, I'll do that.
No, me and Raman, he's in his 40s. I'm approaching 40 already. We have kids. Yeah. So back then when we were students, we always told by teachers, biotech is the industry to go. So
that was your period.
Back then, that was the hype. And right now, is it wise for us to start, you know, taking our kids to study AI, or are we too late as parents?
Oh, you asked two different questions here. It's like, is it wise to get your kids to study or yourself? I mean, my, I have the same answer for both, which is it's not too late.
Okay.
You know, I changed my own career at age 30 from finance to tech. Mm-hmm. And I do think, like, you know, you have a long life. We have a very long life expectancy. And mm-hmm. I think, you know, you're not even half at the halfway point on your own life.
Mm-hmm. Fingers crossed.
Yeah, yes. It's up to you to define what you want to do with your life. It's not never too late. The modern field of AI, you know, Transformers paradigm is only 7 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And it basically swept away a lot of stuff that predated it for
Has
the last.
Has it only been 7 years?
The Transformers, the current paradigm of AI. Mm. So, if you played like Civilization or any other
computer
games, yep. Mm-hmm. There's all these tech trees, right?
Mm.
No, you don't.
I do.
Civilization.
Yeah. Well, you stereotype me.
Oh my god.
Notice I'm just keeping quiet, right?
Because he doesn't want to fuck.
There's all these games with all like technology tree. Discover this, then discover that, right? There's been all 60 years of AI development. Mm. The current tree that we're on started only 7 years ago.
And
swept away the previous 30 years of development, which is very sad for those people who was there for the last 30 years, but you know, they already made their money.
Okay, but that begs the question, right? Because then what's to stop like the next thing coming in 3 years' time that's gonna wipe away everything from the last 7 years?
We don't know that for sure. All we know is that the country that we're on is much more fruitful than the last 30 years of country. Because you've heard AI wave before, it's never been like this.
I'm quite impressed when you mentioned you kind of like transitioned from finance to
tech.
Was that a hard switch to do?
It took a year. I'll say it was hard going through it, but looking back, actually, it wasn't hard at all.
Like, was it a lot of self-learning involved?
Yeah. I took a lot of nights and weekends of self-study. You feel like you're an imposter. You feel like you don't have any qualifications. And you're like, I was throwing away a decent career in finance that I worked very hard for to enter in at the ground floor and as lowest life form in a company, and you're not confident that you can make it. But I think at the end of the day, you only live one life, and you might as well make the most of it. If you're pretty sure that it's the thing you want to do, so it's more about taking that year to decide if this is the thing that actually you enjoy and you can make real progress in.
Fantastic mindset.
Yeah.
for those who want to do the same thing, I encourage people to check out Free Code Camp. It's a free online coding bootcamp that I myself went through.
Mm-hmm.
Took me a year, but yeah, that's how I did it.
So you were living in the States at that point in time?
Yeah, I was living mostly in the States, and then while I was doing that self-study, I didn't have a job. Mm-hmm. So I actually went to Thailand and Mexico for a bit. So just digital nomad.
Mm. Oh, okay.
Nice.
Okay, but from what I'm hearing, right, like you didn't attend some kind of course. As in not like a university. Yeah, not a formal.
So for the first 9 months, no. Mm-hmm. And then towards the end, I was like, I need a little bit of top up. And then I went to a coding bootcamp to supplement my online learning.
Mm.
Oh.
And so the coding bootcamp, what that does, right, at the end of it, and Singapore has some general assembly for those people who are interested.
Mm-hmm.
They at the end of the bootcamp, they actually get employers to come and hire you off of that program.
Okay.
And getting that first job is so important, right? Because it takes you from like some internet random who like has no credentials to like, oh yeah, first job. And then, you know, after that, they'll just judge you on the basis of your first job.
Yeah, so this is on my mind. Like, where are we right now in terms of leveraging on AI technology? Are we right now barely scratching the surface or actually like wow us with certain things to be expected in the future?
Yeah.
Wow you. So, I mean, look, like, I normally live in SF where you can call a driverless car and at the push of a button as easy as you call a Grab. I do that on almost daily basis.
Driverless car?
Like right now.
To bring you to where you need to go.
Yeah, yeah. This is common in all of SF. It's called the Waymo. It's by Google. We used to have Cruise as well, but Cruise had an accident and their license got revoked.
Oh, God.
But, to me, that's the wow moment. Because what happens when you have driverless cars? Mm-hmm. You don't need parking. What happens to cities when you don't need parking? You don't need parking lots.
Mm.
What happens to roads when you don't need parking? You don't need roadside parking and all that, right?
Like, it's just a lot more efficient, basically.
Yeah.
But then, right? I mean, I am like the
socialist.
Yeah. No, as in like I'm the life of the party. So okay, obviously, right. I'm gonna be concerned about things like accidents. I mean, like you said, accidents can happen.
Yes,
and it has happened before.
It actually happened. That's how crews lost their license. And so the trick is. There will be some trade-off. Is this curve between how much safer must AI be for humans to accept it? Is it 1-to-1? No, right? Mm-hmm. We need it to be safer. Otherwise, we won't accept it. Okay, is it 2-to-1? Is it 10-to-1? Is it 100-to-1? Mm. What is the point?
Mm.
Because it will be inevitable that these AI drivers will cause accidents that humans would not have caused.
Okay.
You'll kill some babies, you'll run over some dogs, whatever.
What an example to start with. Okay.
Imagine the most brutal, it will happen.
Yeah.
Right? At what point is it so much safer than humans that those accidents happen and we are still okay with it? Because guess what? It happened before with planes. With planes, we can have a whole airline of passengers, 300 people disappear.
Yeah, that's true.
Still flying.
That's true.
We're still flying. We're like, oh, yeah. Okay. You know.
So as somebody who is living in a society, like you say, right, in a city where you have basically been taking AI drivers to work or to get around the city for, you know, how long?
About a year and a half.
So by this point in time, would you say that you're more confident in an AI driver than a human driver?
More confident AI driver than me. I am not the best driver in the world. I get distracted. I don't obey the stop signs. I get into scripts and bumps. I would say right now, based on what I see on Waymo, yes, I think that Waymo is a safer driver than humans now. And actually, I think it's very super interesting how they're testing it. They're only testing it in cities.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But in Singapore, that's all we care about.
That's all we have, yeah.
In real countries, in bigger countries, they have between cities.
Nice actually, catch, by the way.
Actually, that is the bulk of driving as between cities, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Actually, it's
way
safer. Like, I mean, just set it on a highway, like drive for 3 hours, no mistakes. Whereas for humans, we're like,
right?
Actually, imagine there's been a whole spate, right, of like accidents on the KL Singapore Highway.
It's been there forever.
Oh, really?
All the tour buses. Yeah, all the tour buses.
Replace all those guys. You know, like those are unregretted jobs, man. Like you replace their jobs, they'll get other jobs. It's fine. Like less people will die. You are saving lives doing this.
But will Malaysia do it not? That's the question.
Remember we had the guy who bought like one of the first few Teslas in Singapore and then he drove to Penang and then he was testing the driving without.
Okay.
A Singaporean guy.
Oh, okay.
There was a Singaporean guy who drove all the way to Penang, not holding the...
Oh, not holding the wheel.
Yeah, then after he posted the video online, then the police...
Oh, yes.
We are looking for the Singaporean guy to assist in investigations. Yeah. Remember that?
In terms of adoption, right? Because, I mean, obviously, San Fran is like really up there.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, how far behind are we? Are we still living on in Stone Age?
Oh, okay. Yeah. I think Singapore is like Stone Age lah. Like, look at how long we took to embrace electric vehicles. Although I hate electric vehicles, but...
What is the adoption of electric vehicles in Singapore? I have no idea.
It's quite low.
Well, we are definitely slow and well behind, even China. Yeah,
I should show you some car parks in SF.
Mm-hmm.
Every car park has the charger.
Wow.
Every lot.
Uh-huh.
I first saw it, I was like, this is a fucking ridiculous country.
But it's good, right?
I would say Singapore is trying to be up to speed. Like, we will be faster than all of our neighbors for sure, right? That's good, right? Like, but I think my concern is that we're conservative in the things that we don't need to be conservative about, and that's one of the sticking points there.
I mean, we are famously conservative about a lot of things, but when it comes to like this kind of AI thing, oftentimes I feel like a lot of concern is about especially older people. Right, because I feel part of this is because of the language barrier.
Oh.
Right? Yeah. Because I don't know if this is true, but I would be under the impression that most of AI accessibility, whatever, it's for English speakers.
True, but AI is very good at translation. Like, in fact, the transformer paradigm was created to do translation. That is where it started. And then it started doing reasoning, then it started doing image generation, all the other stuff. But translation was the first language of the transformer. So actually, I want to shout out OGP, Open Government Projects or something like that. That's the Singapore unit that is in charge of deploying AI to government services. I think they're doing a very fantastic job. Mm-hmm. They work very closely with OpenAI. When I went to the OpenAI headquarters with the COO speaking, he shouted out Singapore as the top government that they work with.
I'm sorry, I have doubts about this because I have tried some of these. Yeah. I've tried some of these like chatbots, because sometimes you go, it's like
ask
a new
Jamie, ask Jamie.
I want to punch Jamie in the face. I'm sorry. Like,
which is that, the OCBC one or?
No, that's all the government
side. Why am I doing this?
When was the last time you actually engaged with Jamie?
Possibly better.
That's pre-ChatGPT. It will get better. I don't know where and how quickly they roll out, but it will get better because these are some of the most good tech Singaporeans who also happen to work in the government. Mm. Like, you expect them to work in private sector, but actually, like, I meet them, they're like, no, we're really motivated by providing better services for the rest. And actually, I think AI is way better for older folks because they don't know our like UI and like click here. They don't know the menu, right? They can just speak natural language and be understood. Mm-hmm. I think that is good. Ah. The only thing you have to warn them is sometimes it gets it wrong.
Okay. Right? Yes.
So hallucinations happen, mistakes happen. And that's what AI engineering is really about, is to put the AI on rails so that it doesn't wander off course too much. Because we know how to make reliable software as engineers. Now we have this new building block with AI. Like, we have to sort of harness those and put them on rails so that, you know, senior citizens and all that can use it. But otherwise, it's fantastic. Like, think about the disabled. Mm-hmm. We now have cameras which you can just see and interpret for you, you know, real time. Mm-hmm. And that's just fantastic. Like,
cameras that see, and what do you mean by that?
Sorry. So you open a ChatGPT app and you sort of enable the vision, the sort of camera module.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it can actually just interpret for you, like, oh, there's a path in front of you. Like, don't go left, go right.
Oh.
That kind of navigation stuff. I don't really know what they do it for. Mm-hmm. But in the US, there's a specialist app called Be My Eyes. Mm-hmm. That has, for something like 10 years, has had volunteers being the eyes of blind people.
Wow.
Okay.
Right? So you just broadcast your what you're seeing, and then you're like, I see what's going on here. Like, you know, I read the sign for you, and like, you know, I interpret for you. I got you out of some situation that you don't want to be in.
Yeah. Okay.
So they used to have humans doing that. Now they've just replaced it with ChatGPT. And so that's for, you know, for disabled people, that's been great.
Mm,
but also for older people who have vision issues or mobility issues, like, it's all of a kind.
So like, the possibilities are endless kind of thing, right?
Yeah, but with all these endless possibilities, right? Like, I want a question, like, what's the future demand going to be like? Like, you mentioned just now, it's never too late to pick it up. It's never too late to go into it.
Mm.
But in terms of applications, we are still figuring out where we can put this into multiple different products.
Mm.
So like, what are we going to do? Like, right now, all of us, like, you figured out, okay, let's create a AI podcaster, right?
Mm.
Like, it's always nice to hear this, like, last time, just now you talked about biotech, right?
Yeah.
Why? I scoff at this kind of thing, like, oh, next big thing. Then what? Then 10 years later, suddenly doesn't happen. So how do we know?
Did biotech never have that boom?
I mean,
it did
a bit, lah. Yeah. Then after that, it fizzled out, right? You know. So
I'll argue. The biotech boom is the reason that we are all still here without our mask.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay.
The mRNA vaccine took 30 years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you know, we just happened to have it just in time for COVID.
No, I agree. I understand. But is it the next big thing in terms of Singapore's economic boom? Or
Yes. Okay. So I have a soapbox here.
Okay.
What's driven Singapore's economy? Right, shipping, oil, finance.
Okay.
There's
okay.
a little bit of industry between there, lah. But yes. Let's just call it that. What is after finance? Right. Crypto was you know, let's just forget that ever happened.
Okay.
I think it's tech. I think it's AI.
Mm.
Right. We are a hardworking English speaking country with good internet.
Mm.
Right. Like,
what else do you need, right?
Why are you not doing well here?
Okay.
Actually, we do have one person doing well. His name is Ite. He was the tech lead of Google Brain. He trained Palm, which became Gemini. You guys should interview him. He's fantastic. I'm about to have him on my podcast.
Oh, nice.
But yeah, we have top Singaporeans, and they're all in the US.
Mm-hmm.
All of us want to come back.
Yeah, we all
want to come back.
Why everybody have to go SF?
It's a talent density thing, right? You want to be with other top people.
Okay.
You don't really care about the nationality. I don't love SF itself, but I just want to be with other top people.
I see.
You bring the top people here, I'll come here. Anyway, so the interesting thing is, I think my proposal is that Singapore should like increase the level of coding education that we have compared to what we have today.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever it is, it's not enough. Like, I went to school here, like, we had 1 hour a week. In secondary school?
Wait, you had coding in school? How young are you?
I'm 38.
There's no way in hell you're younger than me. Like, I mean, like, I didn't have that in
school. He's closer to me than to you.
No, that's why. I didn't have that in school.
Yeah. So it went down. We got got rid of the coding A-levels.
We got rid of it? Yeah. Why?
It's ridiculous. I don't know. You talk to a lot of people, ask them. Because like, if I ran for like government here, like, this is my entire platform.
Uh-huh.
And to the extreme of like, I want people to consider code as a second language.
Mm.
Like, you can choose Chinese, Malay, you know, Tamil, whatever.
Or Python.
Oh, nice.
Wow. I can hear all the language purists just going like,
don't touch my language. But why not?
Yeah.
It is a language.
I mean, it is.
My challenge to when I was talking with the government agencies in charge of this, they were like, I was basically saying, you know, we've changed languages before.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Yeah.
You know, we changed the national language to English, and then we also got rid of the Chinese dialects.
We didn't change the national language to English. The national language is still Malay.
Yeah.
Right, the working language is English.
Come on,
sorry, I'm a stickler about this kind of thing.
I mean, you want to be a lawyer? I was raise objections that are relevant.
I was a linguistics student first and foremost.
Okay.
Language, so
don't worry, I don't think anybody's gonna puff my ass.
We change it for business reasons. Like, we think we'll do better as a country because of this, right?
Correct.
Okay, so now the question is, if Lee Kuan Yew was still in charge, and you know. Would we do this?
Like, read the headwinds, right?
Yeah. Would we do this? And like, my answer would be yes. But obviously I'm biased.
I mean, yes, but I can see where you're going with that. But I mean, with the two parents here, right? Like, would you all send your kids to study all this?
Of course, huh?
No.
You think I'm, what?
Why no?
Skeptic. I am. With no disrespect. You know, I mean, I welcome the tech. I'm happy. I want to see it boom, and I think it's great if someday, you know, we can have like a Tony Stark moment where you come home and then you're just talking to your computer. That'd be like a great thing for me.
Which already happens in Tony's China, right?
Hmm? Moment.
Like super smart, you know, in the movie, Tony Stark comes home, he starts talking to Jarvis, his computer, right? I think that's cool, right? That would be the best implementation for me. To have a full-time
You just want an AI butler, lah.
Who is soulless, who will not go to sleep, who will, you know, that is...
Yeah, you asked about use case. Yeah, people, a lot of people are working on that.
Ah, fantastic. So, so I agree that's going to be great and all that. But I also am a skeptic to the extent that I feel like, yeah, it's a new industry, it will grow, lah, but it doesn't mean everything else is going to die off. You get what I mean?
Yeah, but no one's saying that. I mean, other than like the very, I guess, what's it called,
mechanical... You see, like my friend, right? He, you know, everything like, well, change a fad. Like, you know, like last time Mandarin, now... Okay, I'm just disturbing you.
Mandarin's not exactly a fad that has passed
on. I know. But I'm just saying, in general, I don't necessarily feel that it's going to be like, oh, I'm going to take over everything. You still need other things. You still need doctors.
So, but I respect your opinion. Thank you. You want to... but I caught on something when you mentioned something. You say you all wanted to come back.
Oh yes,
why? Nice. Why? Yeah,
family, food, better government. I mean, we're going through a stupid election cycle in the US. That
Every time I see somebody and hear somebody who's coming from the US, right, I'm just like, I feel sorry for you. Right?
How does it affect you?
Does it?
My visa. My inability to speak freely because I am not a citizen and therefore I can be kicked out of the country at any time.
Ooh, at least you're not Mexican.
Do you feel that
Arab
way when you're there?
Not in SF, but whenever you talk to the border patrol, and you have to be careful with your words.
I see.
Yeah. Because they can kick you out for any reason.
Just as a matter of curiosity, how's like the safety and security there?
I feel safe, but yeah, we have gunshots. There's one mass shooting a day.
Huh?
In US schools. Yeah, you don't know this?
We don't.
Yeah.
One a day.
Yes.
Every day.
Oh
yes.
My God.
It just doesn't make the news.
Can you imagine my shock, right? When I went to uni in the US for the first time, showed up there, like bright eyes, like this is the promised land.
I made it.
Promised land. High school next door, metal detectors when you go in.
Oh my God.
And that is how they raise their kids. They have no way out of this because the Second Amendment, promises them the right to bear arms and all that. It's a whole thing. But like, would I really raise my kids there? No, right? And a lot of Singaporeans are faced with that mentality, that issue when contrasting their careers with their families. Like the career they want it to be the best in the world. They are drawn to Silicon Valley, but with family wise, they want to be here.
So speaking of which, like, when would be a good time to come back? Are you giving yourself like a few more years before an exit plan?
I'm working in my own company, Small AI, and you know, when it's successfully remote, and right now it's not remote, but when it's successfully remote, then I can come back here. But yeah, that's kind of why.
But what about shifting, you know, like you said, I mean, theoretically, we have all the things we need, we have all the ingredients we need to be one of the tech hubs.
But we are not, why?
Yeah, so would you make that happen?
It's people who don't want to learn to code.
You are the problem.
No.
You are part of the problem.
No. So it's very difficult. Every country government or official that I talk to ask this question, and nobody is Silicon Valley. Nobody has Stanford. Nobody has UC Berkeley.
Yeah, fair enough.
Has the install base of like, you know, 100 years of venture capital and all that.
True.
I just give you an example. Like I know very qualified entrepreneurs here who try to get funding.
Mm-hmm.
They get about one quarter the valuations the same person, same idea would get in the US.
Mm.
So why would they stay here?
I'd rather go there and pitch.
That's true.
It's not just about venture capital funding. It's also about customers. When they try to sell to businesses here,
oh yeah,
they're like, who are you? You know, come back in 5 years.
Mm. Right? Don't it lah.
And so like, there's no early adopter mentality here. There's no point in starting any company here.
But my thing's still okay. Why need to change? Why need to update?
Okay, just for the sake of discussion, yeah. Would anybody believe any shit that comes out of this side of the world?
We're Singapore.
What do you mean?
Like say, for example, you say early adopter, right?
Mm.
If, I mean, I'm just talking about stereotypes, okay?
Mm.
If somebody created some shit here, wow, leading edge technology.
Mm.
And you say this was created in Singapore, people, really? Yeah. But it just came out of like, say, Silicon Valley or whatever.
I think, no, people do have a positive impression on Singapore as an innovation center and all that.
Okay.
We do get credit for that. That's not the issue.
Okay. But then why are people not coming here to create things?
They do. Like, so like the guy at Ite, like he's basically our only example, which is, I hate bringing him up because he hates being called like Singapore's only success. But
then, okay, so if that's the position, if he's the only success.
He's not. There's like, you know, clear number 2 and 3 and 4, but you know.
Okay. He's the top one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. So
undisputed king.
What are the numbers like? How many success stories do we have in this field from Singapore? You know what I mean?
I don't want to diminish. Like, there are other good startups that are out there. Actually, a friend of mine, what's the startup that lets you, the robo-advisor for your CPF, that guy?
Not Jamie, that's for sure.
No. I forget their name.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so there are other startups, and I do like them and try to model myself after them. Especially one called Superbase. It was founded here by two expats.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think like those are the tech startups that we need to encourage here, because they are basically our next engine for growth after finance.
And it's also not just a matter of like, it's not, you shouldn't be asking just the question of like, why nobody want to come here and invent stuff. It's also why the people here don't want to adopt stuff.
Mm.
Right, because at the end of the day, is the
adoption.
You need demand.
I need
also
customers. As a founder, I need customers.
Mm.
It's not about like invented here. Invented here is for in the academic arena. We have very good credentials.
Mm.
But it's more about the customer base.
To making it a reality. And I mean, if for example, like just cars, if AI cars, for example, if people are just not going to be comfortable with adopting it, then I mean. They are going to ask questions. Or then why the hell am I setting up here? Mm.
So which is why we have discussions like this.
Yep.
So hopefully people in government are listening to this podcast.
To broaden
something,
minds.
Yeah, something for them to ponder and possibly bring
to
parliament.
They're very interested. Yeah. They allocate a lot of money, but I think I'm not sure it goes to the right place.
They must change the minds of people like Rahman, basically.
Okay. Hopefully. So, I mean, I enjoyed the discussion, but I'm still skeptical. But if give me one nugget to wrap this conversation up, what's your one nugget on AI that we should take away? Because Zah said to our admin staff, I want somebody to come and teach me AI. So what's that one nugget?
I'm sure there's many.
Yeah. Treat this as foundational as the personal computing revolution. Mm-hmm. Right? You started, when I grew up, I had no computer.
Mm-hmm.
Then I had a pager. Then I had maybe a flip phone.
Good times.
Then I had... I had the one family computer,
yeah.
Right? And then I had my personal laptop.
Mm.
And now I have multiple computers on me.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that transition is happening with AI. You have this shared AI, and now you'll get to a point in your own lifetimes, in our own lifetimes, where you have multiple AIs working for you.
Mm.
And this is happening. Like, I don't know what to say apart from like, it's obvious.
I want the computer in me.
Okay, that sounds wrong.
Yeah. Neuralink.
Anyway, thank you so much for coming.
Thank you, Sean.
Yeah,
for spending some time with us. If you're tuning in right now and you'd like to give your feedback on the episode, please drop us a DM and we'll publish it if it's non-vulgar. We'll see you on the next podcast on your planb.sg. Bye bye.